One of the things that we want to do, first of all, is to go around to each of the sites and ask each of you to introduce yourselves. One thing that we need to try to remember when we're doing a video conference like this is that even if you're talking to someone who is close by you, you're really talking to everybody. So please speak up so that we can all hear you. If you don't have something that you're wanting to share with everybody to say, then don't say anything, please, because it really is hard to manage this kind of meeting if we aren't respectful of the fact that when each of us is talking, we're talking to everybody, and sometimes if someone talks, everybody's trying to hear what you're saying, and it just can get kind of jumbled. So we're going to try to do this as efficiently as we can. And we're going to want to finish by 8:30, so please listen carefully to comments that other people make so that if a point that has that you wanted to make has already been made by someone else, we're not really counting up how many instances of a given thing we hear. What we want to know is as many different points of view as there are out there on any of these issues. So if someone has already made a point that you wanted to make, don't make it again, please. So if we could start here in Lincoln. As I mentioned, I'm Barbara Walker. I'm chairman of the Board of Commissioners, and we'll go to my left.
This is Bill Arrester.
And Bill is also a member of the Board of Commissioners. Those of you who are members of the Board of Commissioners, please point that out when you introduce yourselves in case there are those who don't know which of us is a commissioner and which of us isn't. We're equally important, but it is important that everybody know which of us is on the board.
Okay, and I'm Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director of the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Lincoln. Bob?
I'm Bob Deaton, Assistant Director for Independent Living Services for the Commission.
Carlos Cervan, Deputy Director for Vocational Rehabilitation, Commission for the Blind here in Lincoln.
Michael Floyd, First Vice President, National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska.
Nancy Kaufman, Lincoln, Nebraska, staff member.
Brad Lowe's, Lincoln, Nebraska, private citizen.
Roy Hobley, President of the Senior Division of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska.
That's all.
Jan Ludwig, Dr. Van Zandt's assistant.
Connie Daly, District Supervisor in the Lincoln office.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Next, we'll go to Omaha. Anybody know how to do that?
Bob Burns, Commissioner.
I'm Dorothy Weston Yaki, Commissioner.
Someplace, Rancher's door.
Okay.
Jim Ura, a private citizen, President of the Blind in Nebraska, and other many credentials.
Excuse me, who was right after Dorothy?
I'm Fritz Yaki, Dorothy's husband.
Thank you.
I'm Nancy Floral, the Omaha District Supervisor.
Thank you.
Leonard?
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Leonard Jefferson.
Okay.
I'm Nebraska.
Okay.
Hello,
Okay.
Excuse me,
you're muted.
You're kind of breaking up. We didn't get the person after Leonard.
Georgia Venerable, Omaha, Nebraska.
Georgia Venerable and Miller Hudson.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that's it for the Omaha.
Is that everyone?
Nope.
I feel like
yes, that's everyone.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Okay, we'll go to Norfolk.
And then I'm muted.
We're muted, so.
Yeah.
You have to unmute us.
I'm Connie Carlo, staff assistant.
And that's it in North Park.
Okay. Welcome, Connie. You're by yourself?
Evidently so.
I wonder if you want to do it.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I am here alone for a while. John will be here shortly.
Thank you, Connie.
Thank you. Okay, Carney?
You're muted us again.
Hello, I'm Jan Brandt. I am a program specialist for technology services for the agency.
I'm Deanna Jesse. I'm an orientation counselor here at Kearney.
I'm Walter Johnson, private citizen.
I'm Linda Edwards.
I'm Jean Wirtz, staff at Kearney.
I'm Marietta Sims, peer consultant.
Sheila Godfrey, staff assistant.
And that's it.
Thank you. Okay, North Platte.
Okay, I'm Denise Johnson Roderfus. I'm a transition counselor with the commission. And let's start back here.
Candace Larson, district supervisor, North Platte District.
Susan Rowe, orientation counselor.
I'm Jerry Spangler, Mogalala. I guess I'd still be considered a client of the commission. And this is my wife, Sherilyn. She's my driver for this evening.
Terry Berglund, staff assistant in the North Platte office.
Gerard Johnston, vice president of Buffalo chapter.
Colleen Chandler, peer consultant. And that's it for here.
Okay, welcome everybody, and thank you. Scott's Bluff.
Hey, Barbara, you can.
I'm Josie, staff assistant in the Scott's Bluff office.
Okay.
When they're introduced.
Michelle Ferreira, member on the Board of Commissioners.
I'm Hart Backus in Scott's Bluff.
I'm Dan Hill, counselor in the Scott's Bluff office.
That's all of us.
Okay.
Okay, welcome everybody. And I believe that should be everybody now. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
If,
now, how does this...
Could we have at each site, if anyone new comes in for the person doing the camera to let us know that someone new, so that they can introduce themselves? If everybody would do that in each site. Thank you.
Okay, I'm still having a bit of difficulty knowing when we're muted and when we're not. So if I start breaking up in some weird way, I hope somebody will let me know. What we're going to do is to concentrate this evening on rule. I did think it would be a good idea, though, for us to make a decision about the draft minutes from the November meeting that are out there. If we could get those approved, I think that would be a useful thing for us to do, and then we'll move right on into rule, since that is our one agenda item this evening. So, does anybody have on the commission board have any additions or corrections to the November 17th minutes?
Move their approval.
Okay, it's been, Bill has moved their approval. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Dorothy has seconded. Is there any discussion? I'm not altogether sure how long to wait to know if there's discussion or not. People are going to need to do some verbal thing for me to know. I'm assuming that there is none, so I will call for the question. All of those on the commission board, now do we need to do this by roll? I mean, one person at a time? Is that how this system works? One place at a time, I mean, where the commission board people are?
I think they can all can all hear you, but it might move it along if you specifically, say, okay, Lincoln, Omaha, and Scott's Bluff.
Okay. This is my first video conference meeting, so bear with me, please, as far as being, you know, running the meeting. So, here in Lincoln, that's you, Bill. Are you, I'm assuming since you made the motion that you don't have a problem with it.
Yes.
Okay, in Omaha, Dorothy and Bob?
Yes.
Okay, and then in Scotts Bluff, Nichelle?
Okay.
All right, then that's unanimous approval of the minutes, and so they can be put up on the website and on Newsline as approved. Okay, at this point we're going to move into discussion about rule. Now, at our commission board meetings, I customarily make a statement about public comment. We have been very open to having public comment. What I would like to do at this meeting is to, first of all, get suggestions or corrections or revisions or those kinds of things from commission board members, and then we will open it up to anyone who is at any of the sites to make comments or ask questions or that kind of thing. What we're hoping for by the end of this meeting is to be able to approve a draft of these chapters of rule that will then go to public hearing. We will give a 30-day notice before that public hearing happens, and then that hearing will happen, and if the rule is approved there, then we will send it on to the powers that be and hope to have something that's in effect soon. It seems like it's been a long time in coming, but really, as these kinds of things go, we really have been moving along at a pretty reasonable clip, I think. And I want to thank all of the people on the commission staff who have been working long hours to see to it that we have something that's in this kind of shape for us to work with. And it is a lot of effort. There are a lot of things that have to be taken into consideration. For instance, what the people in Washington, D.C. and at the regional offices think of what we're doing, or what laws at the federal level could supersede anything that we might want to do. And so it's not just a matter, really, of writing down what we think we ought to do and then saying, okay, that's it. We have to have all of the citations. That's why all of those numbers are in there that speak to the specific laws that these chapters of rule at the federal level connect with. So we're not working in a vacuum, and we really do want to make this process as quick as possible. And what we're hoping to do is to get the kind of input tonight that will allow us to make decisions to approve a hearing draft, and then when we get to the hearing, hopefully we'll have had the opportunity and everybody will have had a chance to give input so that we can move it from the hearing on through the process, because we'd prefer not to have to start all over again. So think hard and give your input tonight so that we can move this process along. So are there comments from commission board members as far as, you know, overall kinds of comments or specific things that we want to deal with? Maybe we should start with the first chapter, which has to do with the cost containment. I know that Pearl has some revisions to suggest. Does anybody on the commission board have any? Hearing nothing, I assume that means that nobody has any right off the top. So, Pearl, if you want to go ahead with the things that you have.
Thank you. Okay. In Chapter 1, the first issue that I have is 002.02. It's within the section of definitions, and it reads, blind person shall mean a person having sight that is so defective as to seriously limit his or her ability to engage in the ordinary vocations and activities of life. And all we need to do is add the statutory reference. So after what I just read, we would have in parens, underlined, Nebraska Revised Statute. And then that's the end of the underline, but still within the parens is 71-8603. So that's my first recommended change. Anyone object to that?
Does anybody have any objections to that on the commission board?
Pretty clear to me.
Okay. Some of these are kind of pro forma things that we didn't catch the need to be in there, so I appreciate it. Okay, the next one is more substance. In section 009.05, the core services, we did not list all of the items that are required as core services by the Rehabilitation Services Administration regulations. And so first I will tell you the items that we had not included, and then what I'd like to do is read how the section will read now with the full spectrum, unless you just want me to read the way it would read now. Shall I start with what we left off?
Excuse me, Bob?
I think if you just read the way that you want it to be, would be sufficient.
That work? Okay, thank you. All right, it is 009.05, core services, core vocational rehabilitation services pursuant to the Rehabilitation Act, United States Code, Title 29, Section 701, et sec, include, and I'm not going to read the whole, each one has 009.05A. I would like to just read A, B, C, if that's acceptable.
Yes.
Thank you. A, assessment for determining eligibility and priority for services. B, assessment for determining vocational rehabilitation needs. C, vocational rehabilitation counseling and guidance. D, referral. E, physical and mental restoration services. F, vocational and other training services. G, maintenance. H, transportation. I, vocational rehabilitation services to family members. J, interpreter services. K, reader services, rehabilitation teaching services, and orientation and mobility services. L, job-related services. M, supported employment services. N, personal assistance services. O, post-employment services. P, occupational licenses, tools, equipment, initial stocks, and supplies. Q, rehabilitation technology in accordance with the definition of including, wait a minute, that doesn't read right. rehabilitation technology.
Before it said including telecommunications.
Including, yeah, I apologize, including, vehicular modification, telecommunications, sensory and other technological aids and services.
Devices?
Devices, sorry, I just said services so many times. Sorry. Okay, R, transition services. S, technical assistance and other consultation. T, other goods and services determined necessary for an individual with a disability to achieve an employment outcome. That's it.
So we added seven new things. All the original ones are there, plus seven new ones.
Yes.
That are put in a chronological sequence.
They're in the sequence that's in the law.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And some of the wording is slightly different so that it's closer to the regs.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And that is all I have for Chapter 1.
Now, we had approved tentatively the notion about all of that. So at this point, unless there is objection, I think that, you know, that adding those, I still have a little bit of an odd feeling about the vehicular thing, but does anybody have any objection to including the seven that weren't included before? Okay, Bill?
I said no.
Okay. Okay, and Bob and Dorothy said no. Nichelle?
No.
Okay. All right, I will... now, does anyone in the public in any of the sites have any comments about Chapter 1?
Madam Chairman?
Barb.
Yes? Excuse me?
This is Nancy Plural.
Yes.
We have somebody that has joined us. We have a member of the public that has joined us.
Okay.
Just to let you know. Napoleon McAllister.
Welcome, Napoleon.
And Nancy Kaufman here had a comment.
Okay. Nancy Kaufman?
Yes. My comment is... there has been some concern expressed, and I think this is carryover from previous rule, but in the area of cost containment, there has been some wondering about bringing the reins in a little bit on eligibility regarding the scope of the definition of blindness. Being that a person's vision is so defective, maybe that is addressed more in an order of selection. But there's been some concern expressed that we're dealing more than we had been with people who are, you know, still have good enough vision to drive and do the things that they need to do, then we get into the degenerative thing, which takes care of a lot of that. So just a thought.
Now, the definitions of blindness, as I understand, have been taken from the laws that we're obligated to. Am I...
That is
correct.
This is Pearl. That is correct. Okay. And there was no change in how the definition was worded here in Nebraska at the time of the commission bill, which is
what I
instigated
thought.
These rules.
That's what I thought.
It's the same functional definition, the same exact wording as we've used for decades.
That's what I thought.
Okay, anybody else from the public wanting to make comments or have questions about Chapter 1 of Rule?
This is Jan and Carney, and I just wanted to add that we also had a couple more people come in, and it's Dennis and Patty Wright.
Welcome. We're glad to have you. Does anyone else have any comments or questions about Chapter 1?
Okay, we have a question here in Kearney. Sheila?
Is this probably a typo in the wording here? On 011.09, the last sentence reads, an exception may be granted. I'm sure it was supposed to be May.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello. That's one of the comments. I have submitted several comments about the grammatical things and the wording kinds of things, and that's one of them that I have submitted as of our November 17th meeting, and evidently that one slipped through a spell checker again or something, and so, you know, it's fine to be reminded of that. And we welcome those kinds of comments, too, because computers and spell checkers, though they are very useful, don't catch things like that. And so I guess for the record or whatever, I have submitted some of those kinds of comments, and if anybody finds any more of those, you know, please do let us know. But I did not mention those again this evening because they have already been brought up in a public meeting in November. And so those are still on the table and still will be addressed. But thank you. I'm always glad to notice that people read things carefully.
That's right. Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Pearl?
Hello? Who's that?
We have a question in North Platte also.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Go ahead, Doc.
Madam Chairman, I can't cite the exact location. I think it's in 005.023, if my memory serves me well, about if a client asks for equipment and the cost is greater than what the agency is willing to pay, the client can pay the additional amount. And this was probably in the cost containment section.
It's five.
But my question is there a mechanism that isn't cited in the rules for that client to pay additional money, like a loan program, or what structure would be used by bookkeeping in the commission?
Okay, now that would be in 5.02?
Yes.
Okay,
that's
maybe,
what I thought it was, but
maybe we should.
We can't talk here. Okay.
So for. I don't like hearing myself repeated. Okay.
I don't know why we're getting feedback.
We're getting feedback here, and it's kind of confusing. But.
You know, I don't think that normally happens. I think we should call our tech person and see what the deal is.
Yeah. I'm going to put it on mute for a second, okay?
It's echoing all
day. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you check? Barbara, while she's checking that.
Written into the rule, should it come up?
I'm periodically checking the door, poking my head in the hallway in case anybody's at that east door.
Try to get a hold of the tech person because there is some.
Hi Nan, this is Connie at Lincoln Executive, and we're having some problem with feedback. You know, as we're saying things, it's echoing. Okay. No. Okay. Okay, thank you.
No, it's 02.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, bye. Nan says that when we're getting feedback, it's because someone has an open mic. So when we're talking, please make sure that your mic is muted. Okay. Did you want to respond to that question?
Okay, 005.02 is the least expensive alternative. It says, considering all available alternatives, including those services that can be provided directly by program staff without additional cost to the program will procure the least expensive comparable goods and services that meet the recipient's needs. Consistent with the principle of informed choice, recipients may choose those goods and services, service providers, or procurement methods which, in their judgment, best meet their needs. However, if their choice exceeds the least expensive alternative or applicable cost containment provisions, the recipient must take the responsibility to pay for the excess costs incurred. And the question, if I understood it correctly, was, is there any kind of loan possibility or other way besides the recipient paying for the difference of dealing with that. Have I accurately understood the question, Della?
No, not exactly.
Okay.
I'm muted.
If the client chose to pay more and that liability fell to the client, what does bookkeeping do with that in the commission? Do they set up a loan program? Do they check references? What is to, what mechanism would you implement that with?
Do you want me to?
He would have to come up with a cash amount, correct?
Pearl, would you
address that, please? I will address that. And I'm hearing feedback, so might be North Platte needs to mute, or someone does. Okay, that's better. Thank you very much. First of all, we did look into whether or not we could have kind of a loan set up where people would pay the commission back for things that we purchased, or somehow other provide loans to individuals. That is not a doable thing within the Nebraska accounting system. We cannot provide loans or keep accounting of loan type arrangements or anything like that. Now, if, let's say the agreement was that we were going to pay $300 for the widget you need and you were going to pay the additional $100, the first thing is we would try to arrange with the company that they would bill us for $300 and bill you for $100. It would be something like that. If that did not work, I can't remember exactly, but we would have some system so that there was not a changing of, funds from you to us, but that you would be paying the company directly. If you need more specifics, our business manager will be here after a little while, and so he might be more clear on that. But that's basically how it would work. Now, does that answer the question?
That answers the question, but my suggestion is that we don't get into cumbersome loans, that if a situation like this would arise, the person would have to secure money and have a cash amount and make payments elsewhere to a loan agency or something, if we got into a situation like that, since you're mentioning it in the rules. I'm not saying we have to write it in the rules. I'm saying, what are we going to do with that rule since we have it in there?
My understanding is that since there isn't any potential of having loans that would go through the commission's books at all, that if there were a problem, the problem would happen between the vendor of the service or provider of the widget and the consumer of the commission, and the commission wouldn't have anything to do with it. Am I?
Yes, I think so.
Accurate? Because my understanding of what Pearl said is that the commission makes the agreement to pay its portion of it with the vendor, and that's all that goes through the commission's books. The other part of it would be any cost that goes over that would be an agreement between the vendor and the consumer of the commission.
Yes, that's well stated.
So do you think that we need to do anything to this portion of the rule, or is what it says, does what it says speak to that as it is?
Bella, do you want to comment on that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Could you repeat that, Barbara?
Okay. Do you think, Della, that we need to change the rule in order to speak to the way things go, or does the rule as it is stated here speak to what we do now well enough?
well enough. I think the rule is stated all right. I just wondered what you would do with that since it is in the rule. I was just asking for an explanation. We don't need to change the rule if you want to work a partnership with a client. That would be fine.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions about Chapter 1? If not, we will move to Chapter 2.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I have a procedural question. If there are... through the evening, if other people come that want to make comments on, say, number one after we've already moved on, is that acceptable?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
And I would ask that people at the various sites let people know who come in that just because we are no longer talking about Chapter 1, that we are still open to talk about it so that if someone comes in and that's what their comment is on, that we haven't overlooked them or, you know, passed by what they wanted us to talk about. So please let people know as they do come in that although we may have passed Chapter 1, we are willing to go back to it. For right now, we will move on to Chapter 2. Do any commission board members have comments on Chapter 2 or questions about it? Hearing none, I know again, Pearl, that you did have some that you wanted to have us look at.
Yes, I do. And this is, let's see, okay, a couple of things here. Chapter 2, of course, is the procedures for formal review of vocational rehabilitation determinations. In the definitions, 001.02F, director... currently, it says, director shall mean the director for Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We need to change to make it consistent with the other rules. The definition should be, director shall mean the executive director for Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And then there's a new part of the Rehab Act that requires us to provide mediation as an option for people who have want to request a hearing, and we had not addressed that in the rule at all. So what I'm proposing is two sections to add and then an appendix which will give our whole, it's basically a full page description of our mediation procedures. So we would add, and this would be at 004, commencement of a contested case. Okay, 4.01, when a blind individual who is an applicant for or recipient of the commission services is dissatisfied with a written determination made by commission personnel, they may obtain a review of the determination by filing the petition within 30(30) calendar days from the date they receive the written determination. The commission will have made every effort to provide written determination in the individual's preferred format. That remains the same. I just read it so we have some context.
And hopefully it won't remain exactly the same because that's one of the places where there are some grammatical things that need to be fixed. But I've already submitted those, so
Okay. I may not have gotten that email, and I've already made a note to check that. 4.02. The contested case begins with the filing of a petition and request for hearing with the director at his or her official office at the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, 4600 Valley Road, Suite 100, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68510. Filing may be accomplished by personal delivery or mail and will be received during regular office hours of the commission, which are 8 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, except state holidays. The petition is the initial document filed with the director that sets forth a claim and request for action by the commission. 4.02A. The commission has established procedures consistent with the requirements of section 102 parens small c end parens of the act for the option of formal mediation prior to review through an impartial due process hearing. Mediation is voluntary and is available whenever an impartial hearing is requested. 4.02B, details of the procedure for formal mediation of a vocational rehabilitation determination are provided in Appendix B. And then the appendix reads, Appendix B, mediation procedures. Established procedures will be followed for mediation of determinations made by NCBBI personnel that affect the provision of vocational rehabilitation services to applicants or eligible individuals. An agreement has been formalized with the Nebraska Office of Dispute Resolution, parens NODR, end parens, and regional mediation centers for the provision of mediation services for both Nebraska Blind and Nebraska General, VR.
Would that need to be added, the VR part of it, or?
It wouldn't need to be. Actually, the text that I have doesn't say VR, but as I was reading it, you think I should leave it out? Okay. Now that's our tech line ringing. Since we don't really know, why don't we answer it to see if there's something we need to know? And I'll go look out the door.
Hello, this is Connie.
She said that we had the computer laying on the floor and the keyboard. Okay.
It's unplugged.
It's unplugged. She's asked if we removed some of the equipment. Did we move it?
It's not removed. It's just, we just are using the desktop and the computer.
Okay.
The monitor and the desk and the keyboard are on the floor.
It's not removed. It's just we put it on the floor because we're using the desktop. Is that all right? We brought in our
laptop. I just wanted to let you know I'm checking in.
Hi, John. Glad to have you. That's John Schmidt in Norfolk.
Okay. All right. Bye. Just so there's not any wires.
You may want to. Okay.
Okay. Now that we don't have any wires disconnected, we will continue.
Okay. Okay. I think we left off.
We were talking about
right
agreement with General and that
and just
NODR.
Leave it the way it was without VR.
Do people want VR put in or left out?
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. Bill doesn't think it's necessary. How about the rest of you commission board people?
Okay.
I don't think it's necessary either.
I don't either.
Okay. Do you have an opinion, Nichelle?
I was waiting for everyone else. I don't think it's necessary either.
Okay. Okay, let's keep going.
All right. Established in accordance with the Nebraska Dispute Resolution Act is an office under the Nebraska State Supreme Court. When the impartial hearing coordinator receives a hearing request, the impartial hearing coordinator will send the individual requesting the hearing a letter immediately with the following information. A, mediation is voluntary on the part of the individual and NCBVI. B, mediation is available whenever a fair hearing is requested. C, the use of mediation will not be used to deny or delay the rights of an individual in regards to the requested impartial hearing and in regards to any right under the Rehabilitation Act. D, mediation will be conducted by a qualified impartial mediator knowledgeable in laws and regulations relating to the provision of vocational rehabilitation services for the blind through the regional mediation centers in Nebraska.